Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
Welcome back to Man Talk Radio. This is Roy Jones Jr., one of your co-hosts.
And this is Will Hardy, your other co-host.
Will, it's good to be back with you today, sir. I hope you're doing well. I hope you've had a great week.
Yeah, the Lord has been good to us, Roy.
Amen to that. 38 years of marriage coming up, so my wife's still putting up with me. That's a great thing, like we talked about.
Well, praise God. That deserves me going out and getting you a gift.
Ooh, I like that. You got a month or two before we have to worry about it, so we're closing in on it in May.
All right. Well, you know, Roy, we've been talking about these 45 things that the communists are doing to attempt to take over any country. And when we talked about last, of course, we talked about the hot button topic, which is always I think in the minds of people when it comes to, you know, pornography and things like this. But when we left off last time, this next one also sort of like goes into the two previous ones. And that's number 26, to present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy.
Yeah, and that's and that feeds right back, and Will, for memory recall for our audience, number 25, folks, said break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. And then, Will, if you'll read that one again, that number 26, that kind of just, to your point, dovetails right in together.
And that's to present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And you know, there, when the Bible speaks about things like this, all in Leviticus, and it talks about it again in Deuteronomy in reference to what a person should not do. And it clearly states, Roy, clearly states in Scripture, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1 and part of chapter 2, that men should not be with men and women with them. This is unnatural in the sight of God. If God wanted this to be, then he would have made Steve and he would have made Tim, but he made Adam and Eve. So when we look at what the Scripture has to say, and there can be no debate, I think, when it comes to standing on the grounds of Scripture, because when we leave this life, just as we talked about last week, that nothing that is hidden will not be manifest or made known. So if we are truly walking in the light and we're presenting ourselves with the gospel message of peace, then what we want to do is present that message that's unadulterated. So we don't want it to be watered down or to be compromised. These things, according to the word of God, is immoral. And there is nothing, Roy, that really is stable when it comes to two men or two women who are married living together. That's not stable because it's immoral in the sight of God.
Yeah, so it's not the way, to your point, the way God intended for it to be. And let's be clear here, folks, that as we talk through this, is that it's not about hating any individual or anything like that. It's about loving the individual, but not condoning the sin. And this is the way those of us that follow Christ and are believers in Christ feel and know that the Word of God is true and it's been proven out. So love the people, no matter what sin it is. But in this case, it's pretty clear to Will's words is how God created it and how God intended for it to be. And, you know, it's one of the hot topics of our time because it's social media. All those things are at the forefront of talking about these things and promoting the agenda. Even in the schools, you know, we've seen the drag shows at the schools, which in elementary schools, taking elementary children to be part of things, and which is, you know, we've talked about this before as well. If a child can't drive till they're 16. They can't vote till they're 18. They can't join the military till they're 18. They can't have a drink of alcohol till they're 21. And they can't own a handgun till they're 21. How do we feel like kids that are below the age of 18, 16 can make life-altering decisions or have the wherewithal to evaluate what they're seeing through the lens of the Bible properly, right? If they're being taught the Bible, and if not, just their normal God-given senses and understanding what's right and what's wrong. So I think that's the thing that we really need to be mindful of.
And see, Roy, when they talk about presenting these things as normal and natural, and of course, mm-hmm. when you talk to any sociologists or psychologists who, they basically join themselves with this type of philosophy, they don't want to appear to be those individuals who bring disheartening truth to what people want to hear, because they may feel that, maybe they may not come back and see me. So there's all kinds of reasons, I think, why a person would not take the stand of the gospel. But the majority of them, it's because they don't know the Lord. And when you don't know the Lord, obviously, then, you're going to go and everything that you think and everything that you say, everything that you do is acceptable in your own eyes. And of course, right. The Word of God talks about that in Proverbs chapter 27. It says, all the ways of a man are clean or good in his own eyes, but the mm-hmm. Lord weighs the spirit of man. He weighs the conscience. He weighs what thoughts that man has within himself or herself that the person who is outside of them can't see that. They can only see the manifestation of what an individual possesses, but they can't look at the heart. Only Jesus can do that.
Amen. Amen. Well, number 27, Will, we're going to try to wrap these things up since we're in four or five show on this, so the folks can get the gist of this. Number 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. And this goes hand in hand, Will, with what we were talking about earlier. We brought the church into the world rather than bringing the world into the church.
Well, and too, Roy, the church, for the most part, has become a social environment mm-hmm. rather than an environment for learning. And if you go back and you look at what God said in reference to individuals in the latter times in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he said, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Mm-hmm. And of course, when we talked about conscience before, it's a matter of you being callous and coarse to the things that once was sensitive to us. And now, as we say today, we're desensitized from them.
Right. And, folks, we could make a whole show just on that one item right there. And we're going to, for sake of giving you exposure to all these elements, we're going to keep moving. But number 28 says, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of separation of church and state.
Oh, my goodness, Roy. Where can we start?
Yeah. Well, it's all started back about the same time this was written, wasn't it, when they took prayer out of the schools?
Absolutely. And, of course, that has to do with Madeline Murray O'Hare, mm-hmm. Suing the school over forcing prayer and Bible study on her son. And, of course, that started the movement. But, in recent times, I was just reminded as I read this one, the coach, Joseph Kennedy, in Bremington High School in Washington State, he was fired for kneeling and praying on the 50-yard line. Mm. And, of course, there were people who were seeing this. And, of course, he did not stress with his players or even the other team to come and join him in prayer. And yet they did that. And of course, as people saw this, those who were in opposition said, well, we can't have this. And so obviously they fired him from his job. But it just reminded me that, you know, we are destroyed according to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. And you shall not be a priest to me. And, you know, basically God, because we have forgotten the law of God. And as a country, we will continue to see decline until we come back to our maker, creator, and provider.
Amen. Number 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis.
So if you take away the Constitution, so what are you going to replace it with?
Exactly.
You know, and if you replace it with those things that you want to remove from the Constitution and replace it with something, again, that a person would consider more modern, then they could change it to anything. They can mold it to anything. They could shape it to anything that fits their particular needs. And of course, once it becomes a law, now you have those who disagree with that will have to conform to it or, you know, be subject to the penalty of that particular law.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So again, it's that encroachment of having these thoughts that were generated by socialists and Marxism in particular to propagate through society and eventually, you know, want to take over society as a whole.
Number 30, discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man.
Roy, now come on now. No man is perfect. We know that. No man is perfect. So what a person attempts to do is they attempt to look at those things that the founding fathers did that they opposed to rather than seeing some of the things that they stood for and then the basis on which we have a country today. So they look into their lives and they say, well, he was this or he was this or he owned slaves or such and such and such. So they look at this rather than looking at the things that they stood for. And I'm reminded, you know, when Washington crossed that Delaware River and had that, you know, final assault battle, that he looked to God and, you know, he acknowledged God. And as a result of that acknowledgement, you know, he was victorious there. You know, in Psalms 119 and verse 9, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word.
Mm-hmm.
So the founding fathers, they built this country based on the beliefs and trust of an almighty God. And of course, we can go throughout history and see letters that were written back and forth between those men who weren't even presidents at the time, but yet functioning in government, and how they acknowledged the creator and God as the one who is able to just do for them what they can't do for themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's good, Will. Number 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over.
Well, I know you got a lot to say about this.
Yeah. We've forgotten what our history is all about. You know, we continue to just let it erode away so that, you know, in another generation, they're not going to have any idea about what the history of America is. And we know that our founding fathers, were tuned in with what God wanted. The Bible was the school book, number one school book up to the late 1800s. And we've just moved so far away from this. And, you know, with the Russian involvement in Ukraine and everything that's at the forefront back to social media, you know, we're hearing all about how Russia has no fault in this. And that they were just protecting their borders, yada, yada, yada. It's just, it's really a really sad state of affairs.
Well, listen, Roy, what Benjamin Franklin said, who was, of course, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, this is what he said. He said, "Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshiped, that the most acceptable service we can render to him is in doing good to his other children, that the soul of man is immortal, and will be treated with justice in another life, respecting its conduct in this. These I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion, and I regard them as you do in whatever sect I meet with them." That's the founding father and the signer of the Declaration of Independence. So, so in a lot of them, you know, John Adams and the like, all of them had that same mentality about building a foundation off of the principles in which God had laid out. And of course, we talked about this before on the broadcast, that when we look at our laws, all of the basic foundational principles that we have with respect to our laws, not all of them, but the foundation principles, was built off of what God said to the Israelites in the book of Leviticus, Exodus, and Numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can go back and we can look at laws that we have today, where and how they originated and evolved. Well, they evolved and originated right there from what the Word of God says.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Will. So, folks, we're going to read several through here just so you can have the highlights, so we can get on to some of those that are got more meat to them. And so we'll move that through for you right now. Let's see. Number 33, eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. And I think I skipped number 32, did I there, Will? Number 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. And then number 34, eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. 36, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. Number 37, infiltrate and gain control of big business. Number 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. Number 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. And here, number 40, this is what I want to try to get to, Will, and we've got five more after this, but number 40, discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce.
See, and no one, Roy, wants to stay in a marriage today. So when they get married, for most of the time the wrong reason. And when times start to get a little rough and, you know, the road starts to get a little bumpy, then they're ready to bail for someone who is, quote unquote, more understanding to their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, it's the easy out that they're talking about here. In other words, you know, if my wife is baking bread and she burns the bread, then I'm out of here. You know, I don't want to have anything to do with her. If she doesn't sweep the floor correctly or do some other thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that person may object to, you know, then it's like, I see you looking at him if you're out together. So if a person is looking for a reason to get divorced and break up the family for any reason, then that means they really hadn't evaluated themselves prior to getting married to the point to say, that I am going to be with this person for the rest of my life.
Right. You know,
come hell or high water, I'm going to fight through whatever it is that the enemy is going to throw at us, because I know that he wants to break us up and cause us to have our own thoughts rather than keeping our thought and position on God.
That's right. And see, that's the thing that we've gone through in our society, is it takes hardly nothing to get divorced anymore. And so many people enter into marriage, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just get a divorce. Well, that's the wrong mindset. And it goes back to, we just don't understand commitment and longevity and staying power like we did many, many, many years ago. And now, used to be there was some variation in the church ratios versus the world ratios. Now, the church is easily as high rate of divorce as the world is, and it's which means we've lost focus on God as a couple, and we're not praying together. And you know that saying, "Will the family that prays together stays together?" And I'm a firm believer in that, because when you go before Father with your needs and your concerns and your struggles in your marriage together, then the spouse can see the heart of the other one and their need to choose and chase God and the solutions. Go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and that goes into number 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents.
Yeah. So parents are negative for children. That's funny.
So, I mean, no one ought to never have children because the parents will be a negative influence. If that was the case, if that was the case, Roy, we wouldn't have a population.
That's right.
Of course, we would go against what God said in the word to be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that one in and of itself says that, you know, if your parents are thinking archaic, if your parents are not thinking modern and acceptable to some of these communistic viewpoints, then, you know, you just ought to get out of there and, you know, listen to your college professor, who will basically steer you in the right direction. And I think that's what's happened to a lot of our young people today. If they leave home with a solid spiritual foundation of believing in God, and then when they go to college, then they're influenced by the professor and they see all of the other students who might agree with the professor, and of course they get on the bandwagon, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. And then it says attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents, and that kind of says it all. Will, we got four more. Let's read through these pretty quick, and if there's something that jumps out at you, let me know that you want to comment on. Number 42 is create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and make a united force to solve economic, political, or social problems.
And you know, Roy, we saw that during 2020. And,
yes, we did.
You know, and January 6th, we saw it there too. So,
yep.
But what I think, and of course, we're going to comment on this quick because of our time, but when we look at this, violence, you know, that's one of the underlying things of the communist objective, is if you can't get it through, you know, taking the course through the law and legal system, then just resort to violence. And if you make your voice loud enough, maybe the government will hear you and sort of all of a sudden make these changes, you know, to where the communists are calling for.
That's right. Number 43, overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. Overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. Number 44, internationalize the Panama Canal. Obviously, for obvious reasons, right? It gives free trade access, or trade access and movement across Panama Canal with no restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And which you know, all this has come to fruition. Repeal the Conley Reservation so the U.S. cannot prevent the world court from seizing jurisdiction over domestic problems. Now, I haven't studied this. This is probably one we ought to talk about maybe on a different show, Will. It says, give the world court jurisdiction over domestic problems. Give the world court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. So that goes back to that one world order that we hear so much about. And and speaking to the end times and so forth. So, Will, this has been a great series. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
I was going to say, we can definitely do a whole show on that. And of course, our producer put up this comment that 90% of the world trade moves through Panama. So again, going back to your point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 90% of world trade. That's crazy. There's a lot of port ownership changing hands across the world. And I think all of that factored in with this Panama access, and it'll be interesting to see how it starts to shape up over the next several years, folks. And I think it's so important for us as a population, especially followers of Christ, to have a world perspective, not a world desire, but a world perspective and a world understanding of what's going on around us. Don't stay in a box. Don't be siloed, into your daily routines that you don't know what's going on around you. It's so important because you have a voice in what goes on in our country and in our world, because you can pray, you can vote, you can talk and speak about the things that God has put on your heart. And it's important to do that with your friends out of love, but also out of conviction to God.
And of course, there's nothing wrong also, Roy, with protesting peacefully. And I put emphasis on peacefully, that too is your right. If there's something that you disagree with, within the governmental system, that is a right for you to get out there and do that, to get together, as a group and say, we want change here and we just want to present our voice for those things that support what the Word of God says, because, the opposition is going to be out there, Roy, in full force. And of course, the squeakiest wheel gets the most attention.
That's so true, Will. Well, Will, let's close up in prayer. And folks, we thank you for joining us. Father, we just come to you today giving you praise, honor, and glory, Lord, for all your many blessings, for your teachings, Father, for your love for us, for your discipline, Father, for your taking us through tough journeys to strengthen us for next steps in your walk, Father. We just pray for all of our listeners. And Lord, we pray for an awareness amongst these topics that we've discussed over the last several weeks, Father, that you didn't design it that way, and you wanted it to be a particular way to follow the Word of God, Father. And we just pray for your blessing over our country. We pray for your protection over our country, Father. And we just thank you, and we love you, and we just ask, Lord, that for someone on the listening audience today, or in the listening audience today, Father, that has not committed their life to you, that they make that decision today, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, Father. And we just come to you in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen. As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.